If you would grab your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel 17 tonight. We're going to look at a man by the name of Barzillai tonight. Second Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 26, we'll pick it up. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Raba, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. And so if you don't know what's happening around this time in the Bible, I'll get you back up to speed, get your brain back in gear on where we are, remind you of what's happening, right? Absalom has come back. He's taken the kingdom from David. David has run, and he's had to flee, and he has been running away and hiding, and David's got some friends that have kind of stuck around and been able to stick around and been kind of hanging on in places and listening for him and watching out and just trying to help him out when he needs help. And one of those guys is Barzillai, and he's one of these three at this particular spot that is going to help out David. And they're in trouble. They're running. They're really in a dire place. They're not sure what they're going to do. Look at the condition that they're in verse 29. The estimation of Barzillai and the others there. Their answer is the people they're hungry, weary, thirsty, and they're in the wilderness. You say, what does that mean? That means that they don't have any food, they don't have any water, they're tired because they have nowhere to sleep, and they're in the wilderness. They're just kind of wandering around. They got nowhere to go. There's no place for them. There's nothing. They have nothing. That's where they are. And David is in the place where really he doesn't have anything, and he has nobody but his men that are with him really to rely upon. And those guys don't have anything now because they have had to leave in exile with David. And so they've been stripped of all the things that they used to have as well. They lost it all. And here's David, and he's in trouble. And when he's in his most trouble right here, a man named Barzillai, along with a couple others, show up. Now, Barzillai, we're going to talk about him because of a few extra places here we're going to talk about and who he is. But we find out Barzillai, his name means made of iron. That's pretty good. Strong. You talk about dependable. We make prisons out of iron, right? I mean, that's what we do. We wrought iron gates. That's what we want to secure people. That's strong. We looked at contention last week, and the contentions of a brother can be the bars of a castle. Well, that's iron right there. That's strong, and it represents strength and power and might. And so Barzillai has a very strong presence really in the life of David right here. And it doesn't just affect Barzillai right here, and it doesn't just help David here. We're going to see how helping David right here, being a friend to David, pays off great dividends in the end, but all because of what Barzillai is willing to do now. Oftentimes, we deal with other people, and when we're dealing with other people, we think of immediate things, and we often think of selfish motives. You know, if David were the king, and he needed some help, and you gave him some help, you expect quick return right there. I mean, he's on a throne. He's got all the power. He needed something. I took care of it for him. He's going to reward me with some riches. He's going to reward me with some honor. He's going to reward me with something. That's not where David is. David is in no... David doesn't even have food. He doesn't have a castle and a palace. He doesn't even have a kingdom. He's got a wilderness where he's hiding. He can't feed himself. He can't drink. He's got nothing for his men. They're in trouble. And the question comes, what kind of friend are you? Barzillai shows us a pretty good pattern of a good friend. And so let's look at him tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and see what the Lord has for us. Father, I thank you once again. Lord, you're good to us. Your mercy and your grace is just renewed. Father, we thank you. We can come to you, and we, Lord, have brought up prayer requests tonight that most assuredly, you're the only one who could do anything about most, if not all of them. And Father, we do pray that you would work on our behalf. I pray that you'd be able to look down upon us and see us as your friend. Lord, we know you're ours, but I pray we'd be a good friend to you. I pray we'd be a good friend to each other. And Lord, I pray you'd strengthen and help us as we walk through this life to be good and honest and kind and strong on behalf of our friends. Lord, we love you, and I do pray you would bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here's Barzillai. Now, first thing I want you to notice is he's reliable. The reliability that Barzillai shows right here, you say, what do you mean by that? I mean, if you need something, here's Barzillai. I mean, look at the list that these guys bring. Now, I know it's more than just him in this spot right here at this particular moment. We'll see a little later that it's not just there. But Barzillai here, he says that they brought beds, basins, earthen vessels. All right, so here's something to sleep on. Here's the basins so you can wash, you can carry stuff, you can take care of stuff. All the earthen vessels so you can eat. And wheat and barley and flour. All right, now we're getting into the good stuff. Parched corn, beans, lentils, parched pulse, honey and butter. Amen. Those go together. Honey, butter. Sheep, cheese. I mean, they're bringing out practically a feast for these guys. They're taking care of everything they need. You say, what are they doing? They're just bringing in the need. The look here is, you know what he says? He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to supply what you need. Right. Isn't that a friend? Amen. Don't you have some people in your life that they don't really, they're not really caring. You need something, you just go ahead and they just bring it. You call and they bring it. There's a bunch of guys in this room. If I called you, you'd bring it. Guaranteed. That's just how it is. We have friends in this life. I hope that's you. I hope you're somebody. If one of your friends called, if somebody called you and they said, hey, I need this, you say, okay, I got you. Just taken care of. I don't care if it's 20 bucks. Okay, I got you. Say, yeah, but that could be all that I have. Yeah, but you don't care. Isn't it strange that you can go ahead and give everything for your friend? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Right. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do for our friends? Right. Go above and give. You say give what? All of the supply they could need. The time that they need, the substances that they need. You know what he does? He gives of his own substance. Where do you think he got all this stuff? That's Barzillai stuff. These men, they got together, they said, okay, what can we get? And they gathered all the stuff that they could possibly gather to be able to give it to David and his men so they could live. That's his own cost. You know what he wasn't looking around doing? Who can I get this from? Who can I take it from so that I can give it right? He wasn't a communist. He wasn't like, let me take from you so I can give it to my friend David because he needs it. No, he looked around and said, what can I give to David? Because I have some things I'd like to give to him. What do I have that he needs so that I can help him? Because he's in trouble. Isn't it amazing? You know, one of the best things you could do for your friends is if they're lost, give them the one thing you have that they need more than anything else. Amen. And you give them the gospel, you try to get that to them. And it may cost you, but you know they need it. Even if they don't know they need it. You ever been in the spot where you haven't eaten? You start fasting a couple of days. I hope you do that every once in a while. Right? You get fasting a couple of days. Day one, not the greatest. Day two, also not the greatest. Day three, that we're good. You get to day three, at least for me, you hit day three, you're like, I can go a month. Like, who cares? Like, this is easy. Day one, not so great. Day two, not so great. Now, I don't know how long it's been since David and his men had eaten, but maybe they're on day three, day four, day five, and they're tired, but they're like, I'm not even hungry. I don't need food. You know what's weird? Is sometimes your friends know what you need and you don't. It's nice to have a friend show up when you don't even know you need them. But they saw it. I say, hey, I got something for you. Oh, I don't need that. Maybe you do. Your friend noticed you needed it. There's Barzillai. He noticed. These men noticed. You're hungry. You're tired. You're thirsty. You're in the wilderness. And so they say, you know what? We'll supply. And we'll supply from our own substances. And you know what it'll be? It'll be a sacrifice for me, but it'll be a blessing for you. Our own help to somebody else can often be a sacrifice on our part. You're doing without something so you can give it to somebody else. Now, you may not need it much, you know. We're doing all sorts of projects and things around here, trying to fix things and do things and all sorts of. And you know what I find? I find that if we need it, and one of the guys working the project, you know, whoever's here at the time, if they're here and they have it at their house, they're like, I'll just go get it. And they just give it to the church. You see? Well, yeah, but I mean, there was extra parts. They didn't really need it before. Yeah, I know. But that's still, just, there you go. Just take it. Just take it. Oh, hey, you need a sawzall blade? Okay, just take mine. That's fine. Got it right here. Hey, you need that? Oh, I got drill bits for that. We'll just, yeah. Oh, hey, I've got. And we got people in this church all the time. Ladies do it all the time with the meals and the cooking and all sorts of things. We supply, and sometimes it's sacrificial. We do it, and we probably could have used that later. But we said, hey, I'll sacrifice, I'll give. All right, now, we think about that oftentimes in our earthly relationships and how we can supply and we can give of our substance and we can give sacrificially. But oftentimes, you know, can God rely upon you when He asks you and says, I need you? I mean, now I know the Lord's not hurting like David's hurting. Right? If he were hungry, he wouldn't tell you. And if he were thirsty, he wouldn't say a word. And I know. But you know, sometimes he asks to find out if you'll be his friend. Now, I'm not saying that you wouldn't give it. I'm just saying if he asks, would you give it? You answer that. I don't know. If he asked you for a task, can he rely on you? David's in trouble. Barzillai shows up because he's reliable. He always shows up. Well, you know, I mean, okay. What does the Lord need? You know, it's funny. The disciples walk in, and they walk into the city of Jerusalem ahead of Jesus, and they're supposed to get, right, they're supposed to get the colt, the foal of an ass, and they're supposed to bring him out and supposed to get him out to Jesus so he can ride it in, make the triumphal entry. And when they're asked, he tells them specific before it even happens. When you get there, they're going to ask you. The guy who owns it's going to ask you, what are you doing? Right? Paraphrased. And they say, well, the Lord hath need of him. That's what you tell them. Just tell them I need him. And he's just going to give it to me? Yeah, because the Lord needs him. That's pretty reliable. I don't know who that guy was that owned that donkey. But I do know this. The Lord could trust him that if the Lord has need, okay, fine, take him. That's pretty reliable. Well, if the Lord looked at you and said, I need you, are you that reliable? Are you his friend? That's Barzillai. Strong as iron. So dependable, he's just always there. Just standing strong. In the place he's supposed to be. Bringing what he's supposed to bring. Doing what he's supposed to do. Even if it costs from his personal storehouse, he's going to go ahead and supply for somebody. That's a good friend. I think we'd all agree I'd be a pretty good friend. You'd take one of those. But man, if you could take 20 or 30 or 100, that'd be even better. That's why you find that the church in the New Testament, you get there in Acts, they had all things common. That's not a communistic society, by the way. They try to make that into communism. They go, oh, the biblical stand is, you know, the church had all things common. What that meant was they passed things like I just talked about right there. Oh, you need that? I'll take care of that. I've got that. You can have that. I don't mind. I'll share. That didn't mean that they had it all in a pool and one guy decided, Peter wasn't standing there as the gatekeeper going, okay, I'll divvy this out and I'll hold 60% for me. Anyways, that's not how that worked. That wasn't what he meant by all things come. It was that they were bringing stuff. You realize that Ananias and Sapphira, I'm going to get on this. I'll get back to my message. Ananias and Sapphira were not in trouble for not bringing the whole price. They were in trouble because they lied about what they brought. He didn't say you had to bring it all. He said, what'd you bring? And they said, oh, they offered it up like they were going to be so, they virtue signaled. That's our day and age conversation right there. They virtue said, we're great. We brought the whole thing. And they're like, you brought the whole thing. Yeah, we brought the whole thing. And then they died. And the reason they died, because you lied to the Holy Ghost. Not because they lied to Peter, they lied to God. And God said, I'll judge you for that. By the way, that's still the view of God on lying right there. He doesn't like it. Still hates it. And anyways, I'm going to get back to my message now. And Barzillai, he's reliable. Man, if you want somebody in your corner, it's Barzillai. You want him to be your friend. Look at chapter 19 here. Excuse me, chapter 19 here of 2 Samuel. Chapter 19. Now you get to the start of the chapter of chapter 19. Absalom is dead, right? And David's mourning over, oh Absalom, oh Absalom, oh my son Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, you know. And so he's coming back. David's now the victor. David's the victor. Now he's coming in as the king again. Verse 31. Here of 2 Samuel 19, verse 31. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. You say, what's he doing? He's just welcoming his friend back to the throne. He just showed up so that he could escort his king back to the throne. And he wasn't even going to take him all the way. He just wanted to cross Jordan with him. Kind of an interesting statement there. We sing that song, We Won't Cross Jordan Alone. There it is. David didn't have to cross Jordan alone. He had Barzillai with him. What's amazing is, look at how old Barzillai is in verse 32. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. 80 years old. You know what he says? I'm still going to walk down there and just cross David across the Jordan. I got to go see him real quick. I got to go see my friend. You know, at 80 years old, Barzillai still walks, comes down out of Rogalim. He comes down and he purposely shows up the day that one of the most important days in the life of his friend. How about that? The big occasions. Say, what is he? He's just resilient. 80 years old, not only is he reliable, he shows up. But he's been around for 80 years. You realize, if you go back, if Usher's dates are right, Usher's chronology, he's crossing at 1023 BC. That's where we are right now. 1023 BC. He's crossing the Jordan to come back. He's taking his throne. And here's Barzillai showing up 1023 BC. 80 years old. That means he is born in 1103 BC. That's when Barzillai is born. In 1095 BC, Saul became king. So at, I got to do fast math because I didn't do the math right there. At 8 years old, he sees Saul become king. Which means, you know who he got to see? He got to see David kill Goliath. Or at least he heard about it. He may not have been at the battle, but you know what he heard? Saul hath killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Because he took care of that giant of Gath right there. He's alive. 1055 BC, David becomes king. And for nearly 30 years, Barzillai's been standing with David. David is a young man. He's coming in as a giant killer. Barzillai's knows who he is. Here's the stories. Then finally he gets to see this man become the king, and not once does he betray him. At least not from what I can see. Even when he's hanging around and Absalom's in charge, he's finding a way to help David. This guy is kicking around for 80 years. That's old. Especially for the day and age he's living. That's old. The Lord's blessing him. Say, why? Because he's resilient. God's blessed him. Now notice what David says. Verse 32, now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance. There he is. That was back in chapter 17. While he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Lord's descriptor. Very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. You know, Barzillai didn't show up right here like he was going to get a reward for what he had done. He's not looking for a reward. You know, the day that he was given David all that stuff in the wilderness, he wasn't looking for David to go ahead and bless him that day. He didn't know if David was going to survive. He didn't care. He just was going to do whatever he could for David. He wasn't even expecting necessarily that God would make David king again. He just knew David's my friend. So I'll take care of David if I can. And now David's coming back in victory, and he says, man, I just want to be there for David. And so he shows up. You know what David says? Why don't you just come with me? Now this is amazing. Barzillai doesn't say, yeah, that's a great idea. I'll hop in the chariot with you. You can give me a lift. We'll go up, and it'll be great. Instead, verse 34, Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste that which what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which seemed good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half of the people of Israel. Chimham, his son, gets to go instead. But you know what Barzillai thought about? He thought, man, what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? What good is it going to do me? You know, I don't have too much longer. I'd rather just be at the house. How about you give that honor to my son? And my son will see. Watch it. My son will see how good of a friend you are to him. Now watch this. Barzillai is a friend to David when he needs it. He needs a friend. And in turn, Barzillai doesn't need the blessings that come with a recompense for that. So he passes it to someone who he needs to learn what it means to be a friend. See that? Barzillai is still going. It's not about me. I need my son to learn what it's like to have someone be kind and be a friend to them and take care of everything for them when they would need it. There it is. You see, he goes, I'll be fine, but bless him. Now, that's a great reward. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. I'm almost done. The recompense is going to come. But the truth is, you know what he's doing? He's going, I don't need this. I don't even deserve this. I wasn't looking for this. I wasn't even looking to really, I just wanted to be here and let you know we still love you. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm old, but I'm alive, right? And I'm here and I'm still here for you. And David, you need anything? I'm still around. I don't think Barzillai went there to gain anything. I think Barzillai went there to give David one more boost as he goes across and say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still, and David, if you need anything, all of my wealth, all of my greatness, everything that I have, if I can give you anything, I will still give it to you. I'm not looking for anything from you. That's a friend right there. He came to honor the blessings that David was getting. In October, I'm going to go, Lord willing, unless I'm stuck recovering from a surgery or something. Lord willing, October, I'm going to go. Jonathan Watkins is getting his install service as the senior pastor of the church. I'm going to go, and Lord willing, I'll be there, and I'll get to see it, and I'll get to be there. And when I told him I was working out my schedule to be able to come, he was just ecstatic. Say, why? Just because you're sacrificing something to go and see something amazing and encourage somebody. We had the funeral for my dad, and I'll never forget Gabe Cochran walking in the doors. I'm in the middle of doing my part of the eulogy, and in walks Arthur Prevey and Kirk Delaney. Some of these guys, they're traveling hours on like a Tuesday. They're like, and I'm going, man, you didn't have to drive all the way over. They said, yeah, I know. Say, what is that? Just show up. Say, what blessings am I going to get? It's not about your blessings. It's about being the friend that they need. You see, Barzillai is a friend to David because he is reliable and he is resilient. He's going to be there whenever and for whatever David could ever possibly want. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And I'm going to grab one verse here, wrap it up. The recompense that Barzillai gets. Yeah, his son gets to go with David, and that's pretty good. Gets to be there with the king. But what I think is more amazing is Barzillai has no idea that this is going to happen. 1 Kings chapter 2, David's about to, you know, die, verse 1. And so he's charging Solomon with what he's supposed to do and what he should do. And, you know, he's taking care of some things. You know, take care of Joab, take care of Shimei, take care of all these guys that I don't like, right? In the middle of all these guys, he says in verse number 7, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. You want to know how much of an impact them showing up and giving him food and water and a bed? You want to know how much that affected David? That the day he's about to die, his answer is, take care of Barzillai's kids forever. They'll sit at your table because the one day I was without was the one day Barzillai showed up. You say, what kind of friendships should I have? You should have the ones where when you show up one time, they never forget it. I mean, how many things happened to David? I mean, David's got one of the coolest lives ever. I mean, he's got all sorts of amazing things that happen. I mean, literally kills a lion and a bear. Kills the Goliath. Running from Saul. Hiding in caves. He's a giant killer. He's doing all sorts of crazy stuff. How many memories he has. I mean, he's got guys that he's listing as the mighty men that have walked with him and been with him for his entire time as the king. And they're standing and they're fighting with him and they're just amazing. And he lists them all. And he tells how amazing those guys are and tells all their stories. He's remembering all that. But when it comes down to it, one of the last people he talks about, he goes, hey, these are my enemies. You take care of them. But remember this guy. He's my friend. Say, what's the deal? What are you trying to get at? Well, here's my thought. My thought is, when you start thinking about the Lord, He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, right? And you think about Him and you go, boy, He's reliable. He's resilient. He's going nowhere. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And on top of that, He always pays me back better than I could ever have imagined. Right? Okay, what about you to Him? See, the trouble is, his statement is, he's wounded in the house of his friends. We do more damage sometimes than we do good to Him. The sad truth is that we don't supply and we don't sacrifice, and even when we do sacrifice, we look at Him like, now you owe me because I bailed you out. Instead of going, don't worry about it, just keep it. It's my honor to go ahead and take care of you today. We expect so much more when the reality is God deserves so much more. And He deserves us to be much better friends. We ought to be reliable. We ought to be resilient. We shouldn't be throwing away our friendship with the Lord over trivial things. Well, God just didn't. Okay. You just wait. He always does. You can trust him and you can count on him because he's resilient, he's reliable, he'll always be there, and he always pays you back. You may not know it, but he's paying. Wouldn't it be great if at the end of the day you got to heaven and your children know what friendship is? Because when you stepped off into eternity, they already were sitting at a king's table. Because you were the friend to him. Just some thoughts tonight on being a friend. Lord, I thank you for the night. I pray you would bless us, help us. Lord, I know we're probably pretty lousy friends most of the time, at least to you. I pray you'd help us to see it and do better. Father, we love you. I thank you once again for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a good night.